Connecting the pieces.
My name is Jay Johnson. As the people listened to the announcement on the radio, panic began to spread. The voice, belonging to a representative of the army, warned that unless the ruling party and the president left office by midnight local time, it would step in and ensure a quick transfer of power. Of course, as the people knew, this usually meant death for the unlucky ones caught in the crossfire and possible chaos for the next few weeks, if not months or years. Quickly gathering their belongings, everyone with money or the means to escape was on their way out of the country. The airports were packed, the train stations were full, and the line of cars leading out of the country was long. Now, if you're asking yourself what the heck is going on here, is this more fake news? You, dear listener, would be wrong. This situation is happening right now in Africa, in a country called Gambia. That's right, the ruling party is refusing to leave, and a regional coalition is threatening to invade to restore the power to the people. And although the situation is much more complicated, on the very surface it could almost be likened to Brexit, or even that in America. The powerful hidden hand of society is refusing to give up power. Once again, this week of news has been all over the map. One of the most interesting back and forths began with Julian Assange publicly stating that he would, as The Sun reported, leave the Ecuadorian embassy in London if President Obama freed former U.S. Army intelligence analyst Manning, who was jailed for 35 years for leaking documents relating to the Iraq War. That's right. Assange, the thorn in the side of the political establishment for years and years now, and even more so during the Democrats, during the entire Democrat National Party, maybe it was Russian hacking, or maybe it was an insider who passed on the information scandal, has agreed to turn himself in if Manning was released. Crazy, right? Seemingly one to accept the challenge, the New York Times reported that outgoing U.S. President Barack Obama commuted all but 4 months of the remaining prison sentence of Chelsea Manning. That's right, in 4 months, one of the most loved or hated persons in recent times, depending on who is talking, will be released from jail to walk the streets a free man. And with the ball back in his court, a U.S.-based legal representative for Julian Assange, according to the IB Times, has indicated that he will not be leaving the Ecuadorian embassy in London, where Assange has been holed up for almost 5 years anytime soon, claiming the move by U.S. President Barack Obama to grant Chelsea Manning clemency was well short of his previous extradition offer. Of course, this didn't go over very well, and the next day, The Sun reported Assange as saying, "I stand by everything I said, including the offer to go to the United States if Chelsea Manning's sentence was commuted. It is not going to be commuted until May, and we can have many discussions to that point." He also noted that, "I have always been willing to go to the United States, provided my rights are respected." So, there we have it. A definite maybe. And at least 4 to 5 more months of statements emerging from Assange and WikiLeaks. Moving right along, possibly the winner of the strangest story of the decade award goes to CNN. When it basically reported, as a Breitbart headline noted, "Assassinating Trump could keep Obama administration in power." That's right. CNN broadcast a story in which it explained that if Trump and his team were killed, a member of Obama's team would be left in charge. But, just as LeVar Burton used to say back in the 80s on Reading Rainbow, you don't have to take my word for it. Here is how it went down live on TV. Breitbart wrote, "On the Wednesday, January 18th broadcast of CNN's The Situation Room, host Wolf Blitzer aired a segment featuring the headline, Developing Now. And during the developing segment, Blitzer and correspondent Brian Todd discussed what would happen if the unthinkable occurred on January the 20th. Blitzer introduced the segment saying, "What if an incoming president and his immediate successors were wiped out on day one?" And from there, CNN contributor Brian Todd took over to outline the line of succession in an attack on the inaugural dais, killing both Trump and Pence. Now, the upshot was that in case of both heads of state being killed, the Secretary of State would take over, and currently that man is Secretary of State John Kerry. But in case some objected because his office would also end as of noon on Inauguration Day, then it would be the Speaker of the House, Republican Paul Ryan, or even Obama's Undersecretary for Political Affairs, Tom Shannon. Now, the report also noted that the designated survivor appointed by the Obama administration could also become president in case of a disaster. So, in CNN's analysis, most of the people who would take over in the worst-case scenario would keep the Obama administration in power, at least directly. That's right. A so-called reputable news outlet ran a hypothetical story on what would happen if the president was murdered. Is this what really passes for mainstream journalism these days? What would have happened if the same news outlet ran that very story 8 years ago when the first African-American was being sworn into office? Would it have been okay? As we move forward towards one of the most highly contested inaugurations in recent history, many are left wondering what will happen. Will the bikers for Trump keep the anarchists and protesters away? Will the country erupt in chaos? Will the deep state give up power and leave it quietly? Will Trump be sworn in as the 45th president of the United States? So, what do you think, dear listeners? What will the near future bring? You can go ahead and add your comments or send your email to us at radio@sputniknews.com, or you can find us on Facebook at Sputnik International.